You're listening to the Makers Making Money podcast, a place where business-minded makers will learn how to sell their products, make money, and build a small business. Here's your host, Katie.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Makers Making Money. I hope you had a great weekend. I was busy this weekend. I attended a winter festival. I set up a booth there for my woodworking business, and it was an interesting event because it was outdoors and it ended up being a rainy day. It rained the entire day, and it was an outdoor event in December in New York, which is always unpredictable. The weather wasn't actually that cold, but yeah, just super unfortunate that it rained the entire time. So it really affected the crowds. And, you know, overall, it just wasn't great, but it was a good learning experience. And I tried to make the best of it. But that actually inspired today's episode to talk about doing vendor fairs. I'm going to share with you my 10 tips for doing makers markets or vendor fairs or any of these types of events where you set up a booth and you sell your wares to people. So I'm going to share my 10 tips that I have for you. I have done around 5 different events. I've done really small, very local ones to more kind of medium-sized, also more local types of events. And then I have done one which I would consider it to be a little bit larger, like street fair type of thing. So I've done about 5 different events, and I've definitely learned a lot. I feel like I've honed in on my strategy and my packing method and what I bring to make sure I have everything I need, but I don't have too much that it just makes it an unbearable job. But overall, I would say that doing makers markets are definitely a huge undertaking. It's a lot of work. And so, you know, finding the right ones and finding the ones that are going to be a profitable experience for you it's really important to make your efforts worthwhile. So, like I said, I'm going to share my 10 tips that I've come up with for doing makers markets. So, my first tip is to do your research and really understand what the event is about. So, is your target market going to be at that event? Is this a place where people like that, people that you've identified as your target market, are they interested in those types of events or fairs or markets or whatever you're doing? Make sure that your target market will be present. Otherwise, you're going to be, you know, selling to people that maybe aren't going to buy your product. And then also understand what other types of vendors are going to be at the event. If there's competitors, I think that's great. You can get to know other people, make some friends in your business. But if other people that are doing similar things to you do it, then hopefully maybe the odds are that your target market will be present and that you will have success. And then in doing your research, I would also recommend to check into how much the event organizers actually advertise the event and what types of crowds show up. So some of the ones that I've done, like the very small ones, you know, after I did it, I realized that they really, for example, I did one event, which was at a library. It was very easy to do, low cost, but they probably didn't advertise that much outside of the library community. So, you know, it was more library traffic than anything, and it wasn't really people shopping at all. So I made almost no sales at that event. So definitely understand how much they advertise and what they're expecting or anticipating for foot traffic there as well. So my second tip would be to give yourself ample time to prepare for the event. I have done events where I had about 2 weeks to prepare, and that was just not enough time to do the woodworking, finish everything, allow for drying time, and then do all of the other preparations and packing, pricing, creating all the marketing stuff, you know, my booth setup, planning everything. And those were some of the early events where I had never done it before. So I was completely new and I had to plan everything from scratch, basically. And just doing it in a couple weeks was just not enough time while also trying to manage the other things that I have going on in my life as well. So definitely give yourself more time. I would say for me, the sweet spot, which this seems insane because I see some people, some other makers that do events, multiple events every weekend. I don't honestly know how they do it. I do maybe one or two events per year, and I genuinely have to give myself 1 month to prepare. So for example, the event that I did this weekend, I've been preparing for maybe even over a month, at least a month. So for me personally, I would say I need to have that time to prepare so that you can do it kind of slow and steady. You're obviously not spending all of your time preparing, but it's just spacing it out so that you don't get so frazzled in the last minutes, you know, and things always come up. You come up with different ideas, so you're giving yourself time for last minute changes or to, you know, just to have some time right before the event in case you change your mind or you want to add something or whatever it is. So definitely give yourself more time to prepare. I always make a checklist of the things that I need to pack and bring. I keep a tally or like a running track of the inventory that I'm bringing, what products, what colors, sizes, stuff like that, so that I know that. And then when I'm at the event, I can try to keep track of what's selling using that inventory list. But definitely make a packing checklist so that you remember it. And then just I save it in my notes on my phone for future events. Then I'll just clear all the check marks and start over with my packing. But definitely that helps to have a checklist of what to bring. And then as you do more events, you'll add more things like, oh, I should have brought this. You'll add more things to your checklist, and then you'll just have it there when it comes time to pack. So definitely manage your stress levels by giving yourself more time to prepare. So my third tip is about pricing your products. So typically, my online pricing is definitely higher than what works for in-person events, at least what I've found in the area where I live. So I definitely have to do more kind of special pricing for events. And I call it that it's, you know, my products are specially priced. I mean, people don't really ask. They're not really, you know, they don't know what my prices are on my website per se, unless they later go home and shop and find out. But I do more like special pricing, a little bit lower. And obviously, you know, you do have the fee to do the event and whatever, you know, things that you have to purchase to do the event and your material cost and everything like that. But for me, I don't have the fees of selling online, so I can kind of, and also shipping is huge. So I can kind of swing a little bit lower price for these in-person markets. I definitely feel like if I made my prices exactly what they are online and just adjusted for like the shipping cost or the Etsy fee or whatever it is, I don't think from my experience in the markets that I've done, I don't think that people would probably pay those prices. So I definitely have to go a little bit lower, even a little bit lower than I'm actually comfortable with, and that I think definitely lower than I think my products are worth. So that's something that has been a little bit of a pain point for me for doing in-person events. But I just remind myself I'm not always doing it for money. It's a good marketing effort. It's good to interact with people in the local community, get your products out there. And even if people don't buy them, they can give you feedback and, you know, get praise. I think we talked about that on the last episode, is just putting your products out there in front of people and opening yourself up to feedback and also appreciation of your craft and your work. Okay, so my fourth tip is when it comes to setting up your booth, definitely cultivate a vibe for your booth. So whatever your products are, kind of create a cohesive vibe for your whole setup. Now, I'm not great with this. This is something that I'm continuing to try to improve on after I do every event. I think my first events were definitely pretty messy, and I was just kind of, the things that I was selling and the way that it was displayed just felt very jumbled, and I just really wasn't happy with it. So at my most recent event, I actually built a wall that I can tear it down and move it, because a lot of the products that I sell are hanging woodworking products, so they hang on the wall in the home. And so having a wall was really important for me, because the products I'm selling, if it's just laying on a table or even braced up against something on a table, it just it wasn't giving the full effect. So I knew I wanted to build this wall, and I did it for the last event. The wall is huge, and it's a bit of a pain for the moving and the setting up process. I liked how it looked. It wasn't perfect. I would definitely still improve on it for future events. But it was good for just making that vibe. So for my booth, I tried to just give it a very homey feel. I had my wall. I had tons of products hanging up on the wall. I brought a chair with a pillow. I made a small checkout stand so that I could have just kind of an official place for people, for me to wrap the products and bag them up. People can do the payments there. And then I had my table. I had different levels on, or different heights on my table. So I made kind of just a makeshift riser type of thing for my table so that everything just looked more beautiful and you could really envision the products and how you would actually use them in your home or whatever space you would want to be using them. So definitely think about the feeling of the booth and how people are going to shop when, or feel when they're shopping in your booth. So I think that's really important, is to cultivate a vibe for yourself and for your brand. Okay, so my fifth tip is going to be about branding. So there's a lot of DIY stuff you can do in this category where you don't have to spend a lot of money. So what I did, this was awesome for me, and it's maybe not that groundbreaking, but I bought just a rubber stamp from a seller on Etsy, which uses my logo. So I sent them my logo, they made me a rubber stamp, and then I used that to make my own beautiful tag. So I just bought some round craft paper tags on Amazon, and I just tie them on with some like jute twine or something like that onto my products. And then it has my logo. And then I did a little removable sticker on top of my logo that has the price tag so that people could, you know, if they want to give it as a gift or something, the sticker easily removes, the price won't be there anymore. And then it's just my logo on this beautiful paper tag, brown paper tag. So definitely check into a stamp. You can also use the stamp for your bags if you want to put a little stamp on the paper bags or whatever you're using for when people make purchases with you. That's a good idea as well. And then other than that, I do have a large sign which I made out of wood, which has my logo on it as well. It's very beautiful. I have it hanging in my house on a regular basis in my packing room, and then I bring it to events. It's beautiful. It's like a 2-foot round sign. So something like that is fun, but I think there's, if you don't do woodworking, if you don't have the ability to do something like that with your logo, I've seen people just sewing, like sewing by hand their brand name onto like a tea towel or something like that. I've seen that at events. That looked really cool. So you don't need to spend a bunch of money printing up these signs and banners and stuff like that. I mean, if you want to, if you have the budget, by all means, it looks great as well. But there are ways that you can do it without spending a bunch of money. So definitely the stamp, buy some frames and just print signage on cardstock. Put it in, or just regular paper even, put it in the frames and just use that on your tables. That works excellent as well. You can do that for pricing things as well. If you have just a smaller selection of products where you have just more broad pricing categories, doing the pricing in a framed photo is a really good solution as well. So think about some DIY ways that you can save money but still have a nicely branded product and experience for your shoppers. Okay, so my sixth tip is to prepare for inclement weather. So I did, as I mentioned, the event this weekend, it rained the entire time. It was a swampy, soggy mess. It was chilly. So it just wasn't great. But I had my tent. I have walls for my tent. So I think that the tent with the walls, if you're doing outdoor events, like the walls are just non-negotiable. I didn't have them for the first event that I did, or maybe in the first couple of events that I did. And it's like the wind and the weather, it's just so unpredictable. The walls make a big difference. So definitely if you're buying a tent, make sure you're getting the walls too. So that'll help with the weather. And then bring a bunch of towels. I had a couple of rugs, actually, that I got at Goodwill for my weekend event. And I was glad that I had them, even though they got so disgusting. But I got them at Goodwill, so I didn't spend a ton of money on them. But it really helped to, like, soak up the sogginess of the grass. And I put them in front of my wall. And so I was glad that I had those. So, again, that goes back to kind of cultivating a vibe. Just, you know, go to secondhand stores, look for little decorations or just little touches that you can add to your booth to make it feel more welcoming. Okay, so yeah, so the sixth tip, prepare for inclement weather, get ready for the rain. I had a couple other interesting experiences, not all weather related, but just weird things that happened. So there was one street fair that I did, and the weather was actually nice that day, but I ended up having my booth under a tree. And so I had an issue with birds going to the bathroom and on my products. And so that was pretty disgusting, something that I didn't plan for. But, you know, weird things happen. You just never know. And then there was another instance. Actually, it was at the same street fair. So not only was I dealing with the bird feces on my products, but I was also dealing with the kettle corn vendor was, like, located across the way, like kitty corner from my booth. And I kept getting this soot from the kettle corn bowl or whatever that he uses, and whatever he used to, to heat the thing that he used to make the kettle corn. It was like releasing this black soot into the air, and it got all over my products. The whole day I was constantly wiping this carbon soot stuff off my products. Some of the stuff even got ruined from it. So I was really, that was just really unfortunate. It was just bad location, downwind from the kettle corn guy. So keep those types of things in mind. Have towels, have stuff ready to clean up or do any maintenance that you have to do throughout the day. Okay, so my seventh tip would be to have a helper. So I run my business alone. I do most of the stuff alone, but I have had I've been fortunate to have a helper who enjoys helping me with the events and is happy to help. So it's really important to have, if you have a big setup, having someone there definitely helps. And then the other thing is that throughout the day, if you want to get away, if you need to use the restroom, you want to grab some food, something like that, having another person there is good so that you're not just tied down to your booth the entire day. So keep that in mind if you're able to have someone come with you, or if they can't stay with you the entire time, just have plan for someone to come to give you just a little bit of a break. Okay, so my eighth tip would be to interact with other vendors. So get to know other people, other makers in your area, see how their experience is going. There, one of the events that I've done multiple events at this same place, which is actually a local college. I've interacted and got to know some of the vendors that I've seen at the events year after year. So it's good to know. It's good to talk to people. It's good to give each other feedback on how the day's going for you. Commiserate with each other. For example, on the rainy day, we're just like, okay, nobody's here. We're not selling much. This isn't great. Kind of annoying. So it's nice to interact with people. You can keep in touch with them after. You can learn about other events from each other. I had a good experience. Again, you know, you're kind of tied down to your booth the whole day, so it's a little bit hard to make time for this. So that's where the helper can come in handy too, so that you can have a little bit of time to walk around, see what other people are doing, and talk with other people. All right, so the ninth tip for doing makers markets would be to make notes and keep track of what goes on and make notes for yourself so that you can remember things for the next event. So, for example, if customers give some feedback on your products or you see people saying certain things, you're like, oh, I want to remember that, or, you know, maybe I can make a change or add some variation to my products. This is important. And then, as I mentioned, having your checklist of what to pack. If you're missing anything, make sure you're writing those things down throughout the day and adding them to your list. And then other ideas, like when you walk around and you see other people's booth, if you have any interesting ideas from them or inspiration from them, definitely make a lot of notes for yourself. Or if there's things like, okay, I brought this product, it didn't work at all, I don't want to waste time with that next time, make those notes, have them for next time. And then my last tip, which is very important, and I've been doing a lot of this today after yesterday's rainy event, but take time for yourself to recover. So whether that be something that I enjoy doing is always making sure that I book a massage. Again, these events are like a huge undertaking for me. As I mentioned, people do them all the time. People do them back to back, one after the other. Again, I do not know how they do it. For me, it really takes a lot out of me. So I always make sure to book myself like some type of massage or some way to treat myself afterwards so that I have something to look forward to. And it's like, okay, I can just tell myself, once this is over, I have my massage coming up, I'm going to just relax, recover, and just enjoy myself. So make sure to do something like that. Treat yourself to a nice meal, whatever you can do. That will definitely make you feel good. And you have to reward yourself for the hard work. It's definitely worth it. So those would be my 10 tips for doing makers markets. They're definitely fun experiences. There's always something interesting that happens. And you can interact with a lot of people. It's always good to get customers' feedback or the public's opinion about your work and get compliments and stuff like that. That definitely makes you feel better and really boosts your ego as a maker. But I do enjoy them. For myself personally, I stick to maybe 1 to 2 a year. I think I'll probably stick to more of the 1 per year going forward because it's just really a lot of work for me. And I kind of just enjoy selling my stuff online and, yeah, don't really feel a major urge to sell in person with people. So it is fun, and I'll continue to do my 1 per year and switch it up too, because, you know, if you keep going back to the same event, you'll probably end up selling to a lot of similar faces. At least I've found that for some of the events that I've repeated. So I kind of felt like I do feel like I've outgrown those. And so in the future, I would definitely choose other things, new things to try out, new markets to reach. So those are my tips for makers markets. I hope you guys are having a great December. The holidays are coming up. Looking forward to it. I hope everyone's busy with holiday orders and things are going well for your makers' businesses. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to chatting with you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Makers Making Money podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram @MakersMakingMoney and subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. See you next week with a brand new episode.